you are visiting with us today, you are our honored guest. If you have not filled out a visitor's card, we will ask you to do so that we may have a record of your visit. If you have a cell phone, we will ask you now to put it on silent or either turn it off. We can unplug for the next 45 minutes, can't we? Amen. We don't have to keep up with our social media for the next 45 minutes. I have an anniversary tomorrow, 34 years. My wife and I would have been married for 34 years. I don't know how she did it. Thank the Lord of that. 34 years. You know, we won't hold you long today. We want to talk about also I want to say happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. Sister Thomas have a whole row with her today, and we're happy for that. All you who are mothers today, happy Mother's Day. I want to talk about the scripture that was read in our hearing in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. Because it is written, be you holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of person judges according to every man's works, past the time of your sojourning here in fear, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was ordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. And so today, I want to talk about the most valuable element on earth. You know, if you do a Google search like I did, and you ask Google or Siri or whoever you have, the most valuable element, you'll come up with things like platinum, or you'll come up with palladium. Now, I have no idea what palladium is. I'm gonna ask one of the teachers on the way out. Or plutonium. Or you'll come up with things like diamond, gold, silver, opal, ruby. We got a ruby back there. You'll come up with all these kind of things that would be the most valuable element on earth. But let me tell you what the most valuable element on earth today is: the blood of Jesus. Amen. That's the most valuable thing we have, because there's only one thing can wash away your sins. Amen. And that's nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. We have people running around today, they're trying to get gold, they're trying to get silver, they're trying to get homes, they're trying to get apartment complexes, they're trying to get everything, but they're not concerned about the blood of Jesus. And when it's all said and done, when you stand in front of the Lord on the last day, he's not going to ask you, how many homes have you acquired? He's not going to ask you, how many apartment buildings have you bought? He's not going to ask you, how many diplomas you have on the wall? He's going to ask you, have you appropriated the blood of Jesus? And that's the most important and valuable element on this earth, because nothing else can take away my sins but the blood of Jesus. And the Bible said in Exodus 29 and verse 4, before you went into the presence of God, you had to be washed. You know, they had that tabernacle, and before they could go in this tabernacle, they had to be washed. And only the children of Aaron, only the high priest could go in there. And in Exodus 29 verse 4, and Aaron and his sons, thou shalt bring unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation and shall wash them in water. They had to be washed. Right. But you know, the same way with us. In Hebrews 10:19, having therefore, brethren, the boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, a new and living way which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. Jesus went up into the holiest of holies. He went up into heaven. He sits on the right hand of the Father, and he makes intercessions for you and for me. Amen. We need somebody to say, talk for us. We need somebody as a mediator, because light and darkness, they can't coincide. You need somebody to say, God, I've been in their place, and I know they make mistakes, but when they repent, God, please take them back. Please forgive them of their sins. We need somebody immediate. We need somebody that has gone through what we have gone through. You ever had somebody say, well, I feel your pain? Well, you don't really feel my pain unless you've gone through what I've gone through. And Jesus has. And the best element on this world is not plutonium. And you can have all the platinum. You can have platinum. Many of you have platinum cards in your wallet. And that can do you some good. But the best element in this world is the blood of Jesus. And the Bible tells me that in Revelation 1:5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Nothing else can take your sins away but the blood of Jesus. What can take my sins away? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And I'm trying to tell you, the most valuable element we have is the blood of Jesus. And people today don't even want it. We're too busy playing golf. Or we running, you seen when Tiger Woods won the tournament, everybody's running behind him. You know, when the Golden State win the basketball tournament, everybody's going to be running behind them. Well, don't everybody say it at one time. I know we got some Milwaukee fans here. Well, what I'm saying is, we're running behind the things of this world and nobody's concerned about the blood of Jesus. And that's the most valuable element we have. He said he washed us from our sins in his own blood. Your blood wasn't, my blood's not good enough. Your blood's not good enough. And nobody wants the blood. Oh, we're more concerned about television programs and getting this diploma and doing this. Oh, well, we're all consumed with these things in the world, and nobody cares about the blood of Jesus. I'm telling you, we need to change that. Because the Bible says in Acts 22:16, and now why tarest thou? Arise and be baptized, wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. The blood is the cleanser. And the water is the washing. You know, if you have, suppose you have a machine, a washing machine, you put water in there. You have to have water. But if you just put your dirty clothes in the water, nothing's going to cleanse them. You need some cleanser. And the blood is the cleanser. And how do you contact the blood? Through the watery grave of baptism. And that's the only way you're going to be saved. So why are we so concerned about the things of the world and not concerned about the blood of Jesus? You need it. The most valuable thing on this world, in this world, the most valuable element is the blood of Jesus. Amen. I'm asking you today to come down this aisle and give me your hand and say, I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Yes. That's the only way you're going to be saved. Amen. You have to appropriate the blood. Somebody said, well, preaching John 3:3, well, preacher, you know, it's about the outside. It's if you look like this and you act like this and you have this kind of heritage. If you have a nose like this, if you have hair like that, that's the most important thing. No, no, no. We had a person that come and study with us, and she said, well, you know, she took me to the Old Testament, and she said, I could see, you know, because they were in these shackles, and I could see that they were slaves just like many people are slaves today. And she wanted to equate salvation with the outside, what you look like. Uh-huh. What she didn't understand, and what many people don't understand, is that you have to be born again.
Amen.
And flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. It's not about the outside, it's about your soul. Amen. And too many people walking around say, well, you know, you got to be this type of person to be saved. No, no. The Bible says you have to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Amen. And in John 3:3, what does he say, brother?
Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Flesh and blood's not going to get in there. You don't have to worry about your cholesterol in heaven.
Amen.
You don't have to worry about your high blood pressure, brother. It's not about this body. It's about your soul. What God and the devil are playing tug of war over is your soul, not this body. Mm-hmm. You keep looking in the mirror. This body's going to decay, Brother Walker. You start walking around humped over, you know you're headed in the wrong direction. Well, the other direction. And you start smiling and you're going to miss some teeth in that smile. And you start looking in your head and your hair is in the, more hair is in the sink than it is on your head. You understand that it's not about flesh and blood. And too many people walking around talking about it, look what it looks like on the outside. And that's what we got to look like this to be saved. No. Flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. Mm. You and I are going to have to be born again.
Amen.
Of the water and of the Spirit. Mm. Keep reading, brother.
Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old?
Uh-huh.
Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?
Yes.
Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
That's the way you contact the blood. Mm-hmm. The most valuable element we have is the way you contact the blood through baptism. And what there are people today say, well, you don't need to be baptized, preacher. All you have to do is feel it in your heart. Just believe in your heart and accept it in your heart. Believe in your heart and accept it in your mind and say this in a prayer, you're going to be saved. See, they don't understand that God does not play. And we have to do what God says the way God says it. And I'm asking you today to get off of that train. And come on, don't get off the lakebound train and get on the train that's going to be headed to heaven. Brother Williams, in John 1:35, you need a lamb. You know, there has to be a sacrifice. There has to be, the only way we can get to the blood of Jesus is that he has to be sacrificed.
Right.
And in John 1:35, what does he say there, brother?
And again, the next day after, John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God.
Now, who is that? That's Jesus. You recall, of course, when Abraham had Isaac and he was on the mount, he was getting ready to slay Isaac, and the angel told him, hold your hand, you don't have to slay him. God will provide himself a lamb. Guess what lamb God provided for you and for me? Jesus Christ. And that's the blood. We don't want that. We want 55-inch televisions. We want 24s and what's on your wheels now? 26s, 34s, that's the only thing that we care about. Nobody cares about the blood of Jesus. And the lamb that God has provided is Jesus Christ. And there's going to be many people going to hell, following after these trinkets. There's certain things that there's no problem with. There's no problem with rest and relaxation. But you can't do that all the time. There's no problem with getting an education. But you still better put God first. There's no problem with buying a home, but you can't work on Sundays to pay for it. You got to put God first in your life. And the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1, there were some other people who had sacrifices, but their sacrifices just couldn't cut it. You know, many people today want to be under that old law, that old covenant, and they keep going back to the Old Testament, and it's about this in the Old Testament, and we are under this, and there's dietary restrictions and this type of restrictions. But the problem with the old covenant is that they didn't have the blood of Jesus.
Right.
Oh, it was a covenant. It was good if you could keep it. Mm. But the problem with the old covenant is that they didn't have the blood. That blood couldn't save them, Brother Walker. You needed the blood of Jesus.
Right.
And in Hebrews 10, verse 1, what does he say there, brother?
For the law having a shadow of good things to come,
mm-hmm.
and not the very image of the things,
mm-hmm.
can never with those sacrifices which they offer year by year, mm-hmm. continually make the comers thereunto perfect.
Right.
For then would they not have ceased to be offered,
mm-hmm.
because that the worshiper once purged should have had no more conscience of sin.
You know, once we become Christian, our conscience are clean. I'm telling you, the best feeling you ever have is when you come up out of the waters of baptism.
Amen.
All of your sins will just be washed away. And that you have a clean conscience. You're not worried about the things you did long ago.
Mm-hmm.
Forget about high school. Forget right. about middle school. And every time you run into an old friend, they want to tell you about what you did in high school. Man, shut up. I don't want to hear that anymore. What I'm telling you is that the blood of Jesus cleanses your conscience.
Amen.
But what they had, they couldn't do it. What else does he say, brother?
But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year.
Right.
For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin.
Did you hear what he said? Brother Williams, I don't think they heard you. It is not what?
Possible
uh-huh.
that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin.
Well, why is everybody still trying to be under the old covenant? Why are you meeting on the Sabbath days? And why are you not eating pork? And why are you not saying that pork is good for you? But you're making these restrictions on you that were under that old covenant, and that blood of bulls and goats couldn't take away sin. You right. need to be under the new covenant, and you need the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
And it's the best, the most valuable element in this world, Brother Brandon,
mm-hmm.
is the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
So turn in your platinum cards.
Right.
Turn in your gold. Turn in your silver. Get on board with the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
You know, not only that, the most valuable element is the blood of Jesus because it bears witness. You need the blood to bear witness. If you don't have the blood applied to your life, you're not one of his. You recall, of course, when they were in the Exodus and the ones who were in the Exodus, if the death angel was going to come and it was going to kill the firstborn in that house, but you had to put some blood on that doorpost. Without the blood on the doorpost, it was going to be some death in that house. The blood was the witness. And when the death angel came, if he didn't see that blood, somebody was going to die in that house. And somebody said, "Well, I don't see the reason in doing all of that. Just don't do it then. You'll see what happened." Why do we always question God? You know, if your mom told you, "Get up and clean your room," nobody was questioning them. They just got up and did it. Well, when it comes to God, why we got to do this? I don't know why we have to do this. Brother Walker, did you question your mom? If you did, you know what you got? You got a backhand lick. And I'll tell you, Sister Thomas, that's right. But what I'm trying to tell you is that we have to realize that we need that blood applied to our life. And if you're sitting here today and the blood haven't been applied to your life, then you're not saved. And I hate to tell you. You say, "Well, preacher, you just talk." Okay, well, let's prove what we're saying here. Okay, in 1 John 5 and verse 4. 1 John 5, 4, Brother Wiggins. I'm going to get you to read this. 1 John 5, 4.
"For whatsoever is born mm-hmm. of God overcometh the world."
Right.
"And this is the victory that overcometh the world."
Right.
"Even our faith."
Faith is what you're going to have.
Amen.
Because there's always going to be somebody running up into you and telling you, "Well, you don't have to do this, and you don't need to be a member of the church, a church to be saved. God doesn't need you to be him. You're going to be saved like the thief on the cross." You know what he said to the thief? "Today you mm-hmm. shall be with me today in paradise." He wasn't talking to you.
Amen.
We need to know God was talking to that thief. You can't be saved like the thief on the cross.
Right.
But you got to have faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because there's always somebody coming up trying to test you out. Mm-hmm. Keep going.
"Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?"
Right.
"This is he that came by water and blood,"
uh-huh.
"even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood."
Uh-huh.
"And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth."
Okay, now we need some witnesses. Keep going, brother.
"For there are three that bear record in heaven."
Uh-huh.
"The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost."
Okay.
"And these three are one."
Right.
"And there are three that bear witness in earth."
Uh-huh.
"The Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one."
If the Spirit, the water, and the blood have not been applied to your life, then you're not a Christian.
Right.
You know how I know? Because these are the ones that's going to bear witness.
Right.
You ever had somebody lie on you? You ever had a dirty, rotten, no good scoundrel witness? But we have witnesses that will not lie. So somebody said, "Well, is Jesus the Christ?" Well, let's test it out. Let's see what the Spirit says. In 1 John 1:31, it says, "And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore I am come to baptize with water. And John bear witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven and like a dove, and it's abiding on him." Can you see the dove coming down and sitting on Jesus? Now, John the Baptist was Jesus' first cousin. And all this time they grew up together. And he didn't even know that he was going to be the Christ until he saw that Spirit bearing witness. And the Spirit has to bear witness in your life too. You got to stop all that foolishness. Put the bottle down. Put the drugs down. Stop womanizing, stop manizing, whatever it is. You got to change. Our life must change. The Spirit must bear witness in our life.
Right.
Well, what about the water? Can it bear witness to Jesus? In Matthew 3:16, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, he went straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were open unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son and whom I am well pleased." You know what you better do? You listen to him.
Yeah.
The Spirit and the water bear witness that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Amen.
But we need the blood, right? And so the Bible tells me in Matthew 26:28, For this is my blood, the New Testament, which is shed for the remission of sin. So when we partake of the Lord's Supper, the fruit of the vine represents his blood that is shed for the remission of sins. That proves that Jesus is who he said he is. Amen. I'm telling you, you need the blood to bear witness. But what about us? Are we Christians? Can the blood verify that we're Christians? Because the Bible tells me in Acts 5:32, and we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, who God giveth to them that obey him. You can't get it unless you obey it. Amen. You can't have the Spirit. Somebody said, well, I haven't had the water, but I have the Spirit. No such thing. You can't get the Spirit without the water. And somebody said, well, you know, preacher, you guys, you're just too technical down there. You guys just go by the Bible strictly. Of course, you better. Somebody said, well, you know, are we still Christians? Does Christians have the water to verify that you're a Christian? And 1 Peter 3:20, brother. 1 Peter 3:20.
Which sometimes were disobedient.
Uh-huh.
When once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah.
Right.
While the ark was a preparing.
Uh-huh.
Wherein few, that is, 8 souls were saved by water.
Now, what was those souls saved by?
Water.
Okay.
The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us.
What saves us?
Baptism.
Baptism. What kind of baptism?
Water.
It's so simple. These three have to bear witness to make sure that you are who you say you are. Mm-hmm. You must have the Spirit. You must have the water. And guess what else you must have? You must have the blood. And the Bible says in 1 John 1:7, if you walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from some of our sin. All of our sin. You got to have three to bear witness. It's the Spirit, it's the water, and it's the blood. And if you have those three to bear witness, then you're a Christian. But if you don't know anything about the Spirit, and if you don't know anything about the water, and if you don't know anything about the blood, you're not one of his.
Right.
The most valuable element in the world is the blood of Jesus. Amen. And that's the only thing that's going to bear witness that you are who you say you are. Amen. You know, you see people walking around and say that they're pastors and deacons. And let's read that. Give me a minute. In 1 Timothy 3. 1 Timothy 3. Now, you know that I know that men are men, right? Men are men. And women are women. Men are from Mars, and women are from Venus. Right? You know, there's a difference, right? We all know there's a difference because God created us that way. Does that make the woman less significant?
Nope.
Does that make the man more important?
Nope.
Well, you ask my wife, she'll tell you that's no. Well, what I'm trying to get you to understand, we have different roles. God didn't give us the same roles. And 1 Timothy. Chapter 3, verse 1. What does he say there, brother?
This is a true saying.
Uh-huh.
If a man
uh-huh.
desires the office of a bishop.
Now, we're talking about a pastor. You know how many women pastors we have walking around here today? You know how mad if you read this verse, they say that's your interpretation. I didn't interpret it. I just read it.
Amen.
That's the problem. Everybody wants to get around God's word. What else did he say, brother?
He desires a good work.
Uh-huh.
A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of
now what wife. Gender is a husband?
Male.
You know, when Adam got Eve, he didn't have a choice. Mm-hmm. Adam couldn't say, well, I want me another woman. There wasn't another woman.
Right.
And then he couldn't say, well, I want to marry a man. There wasn't another. He had one choice, right. One woman, one man for life.
Right.
That's what God gave you. He didn't say, well, Eve wanted another woman, and Adam wanted another man, or Eve wanted another man, or Adam wanted another. No, the only choice they had was each other. Mm-hmm. And what I'm trying to get you to understand is that you have to be a husband to be a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be a wife to be a pastor. Did you read that right? Did you say husband?
The husband of one wife.
All right, keep going, brother.
Vigilant, sober, of good behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Given the hospitality,
right.
Apt to teach.
Right. Now, do you know the world will hate me for just reading this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I went on the radio and I read this and that lady said I was lying. I said, ma'am, all I did was read the scripture. You can read it yourself. Every time you turn up and read 1 Timothy chapter 3, it's going to say the same thing.
Amen.
I'm not lying. Your problem's not with me. Mm-hmm. Your problem's with God. Mm-hmm. Don't shoot the mailman. Let's go down to the deacons, brother. Let's go down to the deacons. In that same chapter, it talks about the deacons in verse 8. Likewise must
the deacons be great.
Uh-huh.
Not double-tongued.
Right.
Not given to much wine.
Uh-huh.
Not greedy of filthy lucre.
Right.
Holding the mysteries of the faith in a pure conscience.
Uh-huh.
And let these also first be proved.
Uh-huh.
Then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless.
Uh-huh.
Even so must their wives.
Now the deacon must have wives.
Mm-hmm.
Or a wife. The deacon must have a wife. And then he's going to go on and say to the children. Mm-hmm. You ever seen a junior deacon? You know, they have these little kids, they walk around, they call them junior deacons. They 12 and 13. What is he? He's a junior deacon. What do you find out in the Bible?
Right.
The deacon must have wives, have a family in subjection, must be good, holy Christian men. See, we take the Bible and we run away with it and we do not adhere to it.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm trying to tell you is that there's three that bears witness. It's the blood, it's the water, and it's the spirit. And if you don't have those three, then you're not a Christian.
Right.
I'm sorry to tell you that, but God said it. There's three that bears witness. It's the blood, it's the water, and it's the spirit. Mm-hmm. And these three agree as one.
Mm-hmm.
You can't move that.
Amen.
The most valuable element. And there's also another most valuable element, and that's the one that purchased the church of our Lord and Savior. Some things you can buy. Some things you can buy with money. You know, people say, well, there's nothing you can't buy with money. You can buy anything with money. You can't buy love. Somebody said, well, yeah, you can. No, you might think you can. Because as soon as they get a chance to get all of your money, they're going to go. You can't buy love. And another thing, you can't buy the church of our Lord and Savior with money. The only way this church was built, it was purchased with the blood of Jesus. The most valuable thing on earth. And in Acts 20 and verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over to which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers to feed the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. Now what does own mean? Own mean it belonged to somebody.
Yes.
Now who did this blood, which one, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which one came in a physical form and had blood like you and I have blood? And they pierced him in the side and forthwith came out blood and water. I just want to know who is the own to here. It's the blood of Christ. And that's the only thing that's the only blood bought institution in the world. All the rest of them are man-made. I'm talking about the most valuable element on earth. And it's not gold and it's not silver, it's not platinum and what other precious metals that I named. And John 19:34, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came out blood and water. You know, Jesus was on the cross, and he had died, but the other two had not died. They broke their bones, but they didn't break Jesus' bone, because not a bone on his body should be broken.
Amen.
But to make sure he was dead, the soldier pierced him in the side. They didn't just pierce, they knew exactly where to pierce him. Because they go for lungs, they go for vital organs, just in case you're not dead, you're going to be dead. And they pierced him in the side, and forthwith came out blood and water. You know what? That's the same thing that God did with Adam. He put Adam to sleep, and he took a rib out of Adam, and he took that rib, and he formed woman, and he brought that woman to Adam, and Adam said, now this is not bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. So Adam's bride came out of his side. Guess where Christ's bride came from? Out of his side. And it's the church of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's the only blood-bought institution you can find in the Bible.
Amen.
And I'm trying to tell you, that's the most important element in the world. Just before y'all leave, just give me all your gold now. Give me all your silver. Brother McCain, I see you. I see that gold on you. Give me all your gold. Give me all your silver. Because that's not the most important element. The most important element is the blood of Jesus. And too many people do not want it today. And that's why he said in Hebrews 9:12, neither by blood of goats or calves, But by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. You know, under the old covenant, they had to go in there year after year with blood. And they went in there with goats and bulls' blood. They didn't go in there. They had to have blood. But Jesus went in one time, not year after year. And he didn't go in with bull and goats' blood. He went in with his own blood. It says, for if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes and of heifer sprinkling and unclean sanctifies to the purity of flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve a living God? The old way, it cleaned the flesh. It was supposed to clean the flesh. But the new way, through this new covenant, it cleans your conscience. Yes. Don't you want that? Who want to walk out of here today without the blood of Jesus? Please, I'm begging you. Don't leave today without the blood of Jesus being appropriated to your life. And Colossians 1:13, who delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. The only way your sins could be remitted is through the blood of Jesus. And what I'm trying to tell you is that he purchased the church with the blood, the most valuable element on earth. And so that's what he told them in John 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it was not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus went to prepare a place for you and me. But guess where he went? He didn't go into heaven. Somebody said, oh, he's up in the heaven and he has a saw, he has the level, and he has a hammer. He's preparing a place. No, he went to the cross. The only way you and I can have a place is that Jesus had to die on the cross. And the blood had to be shed. And Jesus died for you, and Jesus died for me. And that's the most important element in the world. But you know what? You know what Peter said to him? In Peter 16:21, Jesus showed unto his disciples how he must go to Jerusalem and suffer things, and the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. If he would have went to the cross, you and I wouldn't have salvation today. Right. But Peter trying to help Jesus. Jesus doesn't need any help. The lady said, I was on the radio, and the lady said, well, Peter was just trying to help. What would have happened if Jesus wouldn't have went to the cross? You and I wouldn't, we wouldn't have salvation. The only way that he could purchase the church is that he had to die on the cross. His blood had to be spilled. And without that element, you and I couldn't be saved. And Peter said, well, that won't happen to you, Lord. You know what Jesus said to him? Get behind me, Satan. Get out of the way. You are an offense. And we need to understand that. That's what it's all about. Then Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Aren't you glad that we have the blood of Jesus? And Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. You know where that power works? It works in us. It works in Brother Thomas and Brother Walker and Brother Brennan and all you people who are Christians. That's where that power works. It works in us, and it's appropriated through the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't walk out of here today without the blood. Please don't do it. And the Bible tells us we're supposed to act a certain way. In 1 Timothy 3:15, but if thou tarriest long, that thou knowest how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God. What does it mean by house? Family. We're a family of God. We're supposed to conduct ourselves in a certain way in the house of God. You can't come to my house putting your feet on my coffee table. You won't come back again. You have to conduct yourself in a certain way. And he said that, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. Somebody ought to stand up for God. That has to be us. Somebody ought to say what's right and what's wrong. Somebody has to be the pillar and the ground of the truth. That's us. Amen. We shouldn't look like the world. We shouldn't act like the world, because we were purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm trying to tell you, the best element we have in the world is the blood of Jesus, because it washes away our sins, and because it bears witness, and because he purchased the church with it. The most valuable element we have is the blood of Jesus. Amen. Don't leave here today without it. Please don't leave here today without it. Because all that other stuff you have, I'm going to tell you, it's going to be burnt up in the end. Yes. When fire comes, fire day is coming. And all that stuff, your diplomas, burnt up. Your home, burnt up. Your family, burnt up. Your cars, burnt. All that stuff is going to be burnt. The only thing that can last is your relationship with Jesus. Amen. I'm asking you today to appropriate this blood. How would you do it? You hear his word, Romans 10:17, and you would believe what he says, Hebrews 11:6. No, you have to repent, Luke 13:3. I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And you have to confess with the mouth that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You can't be ashamed to say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Yes. Go on your job, and I dare you to do it. Go on your job and say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Go to your schools and say it. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We have to confess, not just one time. We confess him every day. And you also have to be baptized. Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And that'll add you to the church that you can read about in the Bible. So I don't know how I got that. But anyway, the most valuable element on earth is the blood of Jesus. I want to know today, will you come down this aisle and give me your hand, give Christ your heart, and say, I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I realize that it's not about the external. There's so many people today going around talking about the external. But you and I are going to have to be born again of the water and of the spirit. And the water and the spirit and the blood is the only thing that's going to prove who you are. And so if you have not appropriated that, come down this aisle today. Give me your hand. Give Christ your heart. Say, I'm willing to go down into a liquor grave or baptize, a baptism, and be willing to be raised and washed away. All my sins will be washed away. And we'll be new creatures in Christ. It's nothing like being born again. I'm telling you, it's so wonderful. Because all of that old stuff that held you down, it's gone. All of those friends and the things that people talk about you, and all that stuff is gone. You're a new creature in Christ. And if you are a Christian, you haven't been living right, you know, we're moms, we're fathers, we're our aunts and uncles, and we're all kind of, we need to be good example to our families. Because when your children go away, they're going to remember what you taught them. They're going to keep in mind what you taught them. And that's one thing that my wife and I have been talking about as Jaleesa's going away. We say the only thing we can do is put in what we put into her. The rest is up to them. And we have to be good examples. You have to be good uncles, good aunties, good moms, good dads, good brothers, good sisters. We have to be good examples. And if you've done something wrong, you need to repent of that. Why would you walk around with sin? It just weighs you down. I'm asking you today to take advantage of the blood of Jesus, because God didn't have to send his son. He could have just let us die in our sins. If we got what we deserved, we wouldn't be here. But he loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son to die for us. Somebody said, well, I don't believe God loves me. That's ridiculous. Who would give their only son for somebody they didn't love? Who would let somebody die for somebody they didn't love? God sent his son to die for you and for me. Don't let that pass you by. Please let that be known as together we stand and sing the song of invitation.
Come from the lonesome way of sin. Hide you in the blood of Jesus. Come for the Lord, he'll take you in. Hide you in the blood. Oh, you.